Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And as usual, Dan Burns will help you keep it running. Thanks to the help we get from that ASC-certified technician, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive is here in studio. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Nice morning.
Nice morning, yeah.
It's, did you find it a bit smoky? My allergies are killing me now, and I presume it's because of the Canadian fires.
You know, from my front steps, I can watch the sunset over the river, and
kind of reddish, is
it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the smoke is not, I'm sure, not good for anybody or anything, but it sure does make for beautiful sunsets. That's true.
Well, it's 70 degrees, fog and mist have reported in some parts of CCO land, but right now 70, heading for about 90 today. I was wondering if, I didn't ask you when you walked in, if you guys at Lloyd's were busy with more AC work in cars.
We are busy. There's still lots of hot weather stuff going on, and you know, it's probably time for us to start talking about seasonal transition, that it's that we're heading towards fall and kids going back to school and, you know, starting to think about where are your snow tires, which is a terrible thing to think about, but you know, if you're going to order new snow tires for the season or whatever, now's the time to get going on that sort of stuff. The weather is not pushing us in that direction at all. It's still plenty hot.
And we have State Fair. We're going to be there 2 weeks from today.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And quickly,
I know. So that's why I don't like to talk about the State Fair too much, because that's kind of a transition period.
It slides into the next season.
When we get through the fair, and the fair is kind of funny because it can be beastly hot, or it can be pretty chilly out there at times.
Pouring rain. Well, I'll tell you what, if you have any kind of a car care question, Dan Burns will help you out. If you need to bring your vehicle into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, call us or text us. Let me give you those numbers as we move forward. 651-989-9226. If you'd rather send Dan a text like some folks are already doing, that is 81807. But do call us or text us. Don't wait, because Dan will be here till about 7:45 when Jack Farrell has his wine chat. So I know we tend to get a little crowded toward the end of the show. So call now, I urge you, or send a text now. Again, 651-989-9226. Folks are calling in now. Text is 81807. Let's get to a text here, Dan, before we get too backed up. Question for Dan the car man.
There we go.
A 2007 Honda Odyssey gives misfire codes. You're going to help me with this, maybe. P0300 to P0306 randomly. The question is, swap plugs and wires to start, then coils?
Well, I doubt if it has wires. I think that, that particular model has spark plugs and coils. But yes, if it's consistently doing a misfire and you're wondering what cylinder it is. Because here's the deal. It has six spark plugs, of course, but then it also has six ignition coils. Mm. And they're expensive, and you don't want to have to replace them all. Although some people do, just for maintenance, and it's not a bad idea to replace them all. But if you want to know exactly which cylinder's misfiring and it's doing it consistently, like say, for example, it's P302, cylinder number two, then you would go to cylinder number two, take the ignition coil off, swap it with cylinder number three. If the misfire moves, in other words, if next time it sets a code, it's 302 or 303.
Sure.
Then you know that you did move the misfire by moving the coil, so you need to replace that coil. If the misfire did not move, then you know it's something else.
Ah.
Like, you know, the next best thing to check would be a spark plug and change the spark plug. But it could be more. I mean, it could be a mechanical problem that's causing the misfire, or it could be a fuel injector that's causing the misfire. So it's not necessarily secondary ignition, although way most commonly it's secondary ignition that's causing the
problem.
That's
the common one.
So they're on the right track. Move the coils around. If the misfire moves, then you need to change some coils.
Gotcha. Very good. Again, if you want to send a text, 81807, or call us, 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones, Dan. Mike is calling from Inver Grove, I believe. Mike, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning, Dan. I have a 2007 Nissan Quest that I just acquired, 147,000 miles on it or so. Had a little bit of fuel in it, probably a quarter of a tank when I bought it. First fill-up, fuel gauge goes to full, drive about a mile, and it bottoms out, and the low fuel light comes on, the needle's at the bottom. If you turn the ignition off and start it again, it'll go back up to full, and a couple miles later, it'll drop back down again. Any thoughts?
Well, it's the, you know, there's three possibilities, the sending unit in the tank, the gauge on the dash, or the wiring in between. And it's a little bit tricky to figure out which it, or a connection. It's a little bit tricky to figure out which it is for you. If you're handy enough and you can find the connection, I guess the first thing I would do is unplug the connection back at the fuel tank, unplug it, look at the connector, make sure that it's not all green and crusty, and if it's not, simply plug it back in, see if that solves your problem. If it does, then you know it was a connection problem. But more than likely, the most common problem would be the sending unit in the tank that has failed. And, you know, that's why it comes back to life. I don't know. That's, you know, a little bit harder part of the question. But the fact that it comes back to life after you shut the car off and start it again, you know, might take a little bit more diagnostics. But if you want to bring it into a shop, if I had it in my shop and I could put my computer equipment on it, I can read that stuff and get a little bit better information than you're getting just from the car and eliminate some more of the possibilities. And maybe that would be the best solution for you, no matter what you decide, would be to bring it in and have somebody help you diagnose it at least.
There you go, Mike. Mike's in Inver Grove. That's not a far drive to your shop either.
No, not at all.
All right. We have to take a quick break here, Dan. Hang on. We're going to have more show. But keep in mind, Dan will be here until about 7:45. If you want to call in or text in, do that now. 70 is our current CCO temperature reading, heading for near 90 both today and tomorrow. As I said, 70 here at 7:20 in the morning. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny along here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located on beautiful Grand Avenue, but specifically where?
Well, we are exactly at 982 Grand Avenue.
Okay, that's, as I said, a great avenue to shop and have coffee while you're getting your car repaired.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You can find us on the web. I don't think they've finished updating that yet. We have a new updated website coming, but that'll be along shortly at Lloyd's Automotive, LLOID, lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good.
Yeah.
We'll tell you about that before Dan leaves us today, too. Let's go back to the phones, Dan, then we'll grab some text messages. Lee in Brooklyn Park, I believe, has been waiting. Go ahead, Lee.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
So I have a 2008 Honda Civic. My AC's working intermittently, but most time it works. On hot days, it doesn't work, and I don't mean it doesn't cool the car. It seems like the compressor's not working on a real hot day. They've checked for leaks. My pressures are good. What is the next thing?
Well, if on a really hot day, it must be shutting off. You know, the compressor must be shutting off if the AC stops working on a really hot day. And there has to be a reason for it. Most likely the reason is either it's low on refrigerant, and you've had that checked, so I assume it's not that. The other thing is the system has a whole bunch of safety parts to it, pressure switches, low pressure, high pressure, those sorts of things. It'll shut off, you know, automatically if the engine gets too much of a load, for example. So the rest of those things are the things that you're going to need to start looking at. A very common one is that the pressure on a really hot day, the the condenser out in front of the radiator is not cooling enough. And oftentimes that's because either the fans aren't blowing like they're supposed to, or it's clogged with debris. You know, if your furnace filter at home gets plugged, or if the equipment outside gets all full of cotton and stuff, you'll know that it doesn't work very well. And the solution is the same. You need to clean that off with the garden hose or compressed air or something like that. So those are the types of things that will cause it to cut out on a hot day. You know, on a normal day, it'll continue to operate because it doesn't need full capacity. But when it needs full capacity, then you're running into trouble. So that's the first thing I would do is clean out the condenser out in front.
Okay.
And mostly where they get plugged is between the condenser and the radiator, and that's hard to get to.
Mm.
But
you guys do that.
We do that, yes, yeah. But pay attention to that.
All right. Very good, Lee. Diane is calling us from Hinckley, Minnesota. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I saw a Facebook page yesterday, and I'm kind of calling to ask if it's fact or fiction that with our extended temperatures, you shouldn't fill your gas tank more than half or three quarters full.
Well, that's kind of an old fairy tale.
Is it?
Yeah. What they're talking about is that you're taking cool gas out of the ground and putting into your tank, and then, of course, the gas gets hot, and, of course, it expands. But the system is designed to accommodate that.
It is, okay.
So what I don't recommend ever, winter or summer, is when the, you know, remember in the old days, you'd want it right full up into the neck. And
oh, yeah.
You'd
top it off.
Yeah, you'd top it off. Don't do that. In other words, when the pump shuts off automatically, you know, round it up to the next whatever. But don't put a whole bunch of more gas in because the evaporative system is in operation, and you don't want to flood all of those components with a bunch of gas.
I think I've read that in manuals recently, too. So I've stopped topping it off. As soon as it clicks,
right.
I'm done.
As soon as it clicks, then...
To be safe.
You know, unless you care about round numbers, and I do.
Okay. That makes you feel better.
I still have to round it up to the next nickel or dime.
But, I got
you. But at any rate, which is fine, too. But any time of the year, do not overfill the gas tank, because that's not good for it.
All right, there you go, Diane. Thank you. Good question. I know we have to break shortly, but Mike and Blaine is calling in. Then we'll grab some texts. Mike, what is your question?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I have an opportunity to purchase a 2011 Chevy Equinox, and it has low miles, from a family member. And last weekend, I was getting servicing done at a local shop that I've gone to for years on one of my other vehicles, and I happened to mention it to the guys there, and he said, oh, stay away from that car. That car has those Chevy Equinox, they have a lot of engine problems. And then they asked, how many miles? And, you know, it's pretty low miles. Well, yeah, you're just going to ask for trouble. Could you give me your comments on that? I've been looking forward to buying the vehicle, but if it's going to have engine problems, I guess every car has engine problems. Specific about that one,
yeah. What do you think, Dan?
I don't agree with that. I mean, I've not actually seen any Chevy Equinox engine trouble, and I don't know that if it's any. I don't know if it's a bigger problem than any other model that's around. I agree with you. Every car has engine problems,
yeah.
It's always a little bit of risk that you hope you get the right one. But boy, there's plenty of Chevy Equinox on the road, and they're all doing just fine. So that happens in a particular shop where you see a rash of problems, and it changes your opinion on a particular car. But generally speaking, I would say that that's a pretty good car. And beyond that, if you're concerned about it, if you want the car and you think the car is a really good deal and you're concerned about the engine, maybe you'd want to consider an extended warranty so that you can be assured that if you do have an engine problem, at least it'll be taken care of under some sort of insurance policy.
Mike obviously was getting it checked out, but you could get it checked out real thoroughly by a shop like yours.
Yeah. Anybody. Yeah. You bet.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you go, Mike. Good luck. We have to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and talk text questions when we come back here on CCO's Car Care Show. Dan will be with us. till about 7:45. 70, a look at that forecast straight ahead.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Dave Lee. It's 70 degrees in the Twin Cities in the midst of our car care show. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive helping you out. Here's a text, Dan. How do I get rid of the musty, moldy smell coming out of my air vents? We have talked about that before.
Yeah, the change your cabin filter, for starters. Most cars nowadays have an air filter that's inside the passenger compartment, over, like, usually behind the glove box somewhere. And if that has not been changed for a long time, when you have this humid air blowing through it, and actually when you pull it out and look at it, you'll see that it's terrible.
Yeah.
They're all black and moldy and nasty, and they're to be changed on a maintenance schedule, and many people don't do that, and that's when they get nasty and disgusting, and so the first thing you want to do is change that filter. Look at it, see if that's what it is. If the filter has been changed recently and that's not doing any good, then you have some musty stuff growing inside the heater box inside the car, and there's some chemicals that you can introduce to the car or to that cabin area that will kill that moldy stuff,
yeah,
and take care of the smell.
Yeah, so you've done that a lot at your shop.
We have, so, yeah. And it's, you know, it's actually simple. You when the air conditioning system is set on recirculate, which is it's taking the cabin air, cooling it, and putting it back into the cabin, when you find where that recirculation vent door is, you simply blow the chemicals in through there, and it circulates in the heater box and kills this stuff. So
the mold spores.
That's a Lysol type product.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly what it is, but
you're right.
It smells kind of like that.
It does.
Yeah.
All right. There's an answer there. Another text has this: how much improvement might I see on my low beams by replacing my standard halogen bulbs in my 2004 Toyota with LEDs? The LEDs range from $50 to $200 per pair.
Yeah, so they want to not change, or they want to eliminate the LEDs? I'm sorry, I missed the...
No, I think they want how much improvement might I see on the low beams by replacing the standard halogen with LEDs?
Oh, it makes a difference.
It does.
So that would be the first step. The second step, and maybe the better step is, you know, after a car starts to age, the headlights start to get that foggy look through,
yeah,
through the plastic.
Right.
And if that plastic has a foggy look to it, light does not shine through that very well. It's a big filter.
Hmm.
So if your headlights are starting to get that foggy look, the best thing that you could do is have those buffed and cleaned and made clear again. And there's a process that we go through to do that. In fact, I think you can buy a kit.
Sell those kits. Yeah,
at a auto parts store,
sure,
to do it yourself if you want to. But get the headlight plastic clear, and that's probably what's going to make the biggest difference.
Do that first.
Maybe do that first.
Yeah.
Or do both. Do there, both if you really want.
Yeah, know. There you go.
As I age, I need all the light I can get everywhere.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Let's see. Here's one. It's a 2012 Mazda 3 hatchback. My rear window wiper stopped working a month or so ago after I got it home from an oil change. Is this a big diagnostic job, or could it be a simple fix? The wiper just hangs there.
Well, it could be a simple fix. It could be that it's a fuse or something like that. It could be the wiper motor itself. We certainly replace a lot of those. And then the next thing that is actually a common repair is, in order for the – if the wiper motor is – inside the hatch itself, and I think it probably is, then the wires going to the hatch, along the hinge there,
mm-hmm,
of course, over the years have flexed back and forth many, many times, and those wires have a tendency to break.
Aha.
So it might be as simple as you have a broken wire in that where the wires go from the body of the car into the hatch of the car.
But you at Lloyd's could...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
we work on that. Well, it's an easy diagnosis, no matter what it is. Yeah.
Good morning, it says. I have a 2009 Saturn Aura, and I need two rims, probably wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where I might find them?
Well, you could certainly try a salvage yard.
Okay.
Saturn's a little bit tricky because, you know, there's not a lot of them around anymore.
That's true.
And also, many of the salvage yard, the bigger ones anyway in town, restore rims, restore wheels. We do that a lot in the spring when people are suffering with potholes.
Oh yeah,
they'll get their wheels bent from the potholes, and we can send those out and have those wheels repaired. And usually, it's much less expensive than replacing the wheels.
All right, let's see here. Another text. I know we're getting short of time here. 98 El Dorado message says thief deterrent system. Car may not restart. Car occasionally stalls at idle. Codes have been cleared. Is it possible that I have a fuel delivery problem?
Well, the theft deterrent thing is real, and so I guess I wouldn't ignore that. I think that's something that you're going to want to certainly address. And on that particular model, back in those days, the ignition switch itself is what would read the little prom in the key. And if they're not speaking to each other, that is going to cause the car not to start at times. And so I think I would probably start there and have that addressed.
All right, let's see. We have, we're almost out of time. If I can get this problem, it says an 03 Sequoia, 75,000 miles, acceleration added, a pronounced knocking began. Told need a new engine, knock amplifies with RPMs, all maintenance up to date. It's kind of a mixed bag here.
Could be that if you've had a professional listen to it, and if you know, to the trained ear, a lower end knock from the crankshaft, you know, or a connecting rod or something like that, I would know what that sounds like. And if that's the case, and if somebody has told you that that's an engine problem, then that's probably true.
Okay.
And you'll have to decide if the vehicle warrants that type of investment, replacing the engine.
How do we find you guys at Lloyd's?
Come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue. We'll be there this morning till noon in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or simply give us a call at 651-228-1316.
We will talk to you 1 week from today.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.